Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Understanding this chapter 9 is very debatable among the students of this book. My perception concerning this chapter perhaps differs from the opinions of the rest more than they differ among themselves. Some commentators impressed me in one verse and totally contradicted me in the next. Some commentaries have a very helpful explanation until the point where some meaning in this chapter crossed some doctrines of their denomination. This is a very typical trap some people quite boldly fall in and apparently comfortably dwell in it, twisting some scriptural teaching, making a false confirmation. I sense a need to give up comparing the opinions of the others and take time for prayer and personal study of this chapter. I pray for our Lord's guidance, protection, teaching, and correction. In the first 8 chapters, my study has established and confirmed my belief in this book's purpose and significance. Our Heavenly Father is revealing to us, His children, the glory and majesty of His Son, and His abundant mercy, grace, and eternal love for His redeemed souls, His bride He purchased with a great ransom. As we behold more and more of His grandeur, gradually we grow in faith and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Seeing our Lord in brightness keeps our walk above the threatening waves, Matthew 14:25-32. Our Father magnifies His Son. Faith in Him and knowledge of Him is His bride's beauty. Our Father unites His people in the Spirit of Christ. His true church includes His faithful ones of all times, since Abel the righteous, till His, our Lord's, return. Verse 1. The fifth angel sounded. A star, having the key of the bottomless pit, falls from heaven to the earth. We've seen a great fallen star in the chapter 8, verse 10. Can it be the same star falling again? Or it must be another one, not as great as the first one? Comparing some other repetitions might add some light. In the chapter 6, verse 14, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. In the chapter 16, verse 20, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. In both verses we read about every island and mountain. These are parts of the same revelation revealing the enemy defeated and our Lord Jesus victorious, glorified Son of God. In Job chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 2 verse 1, Satan appears among the sons of God. From these appearances to the end of the book, Satan is hiding among the professing believers in their hypocrisy, false justice, and religious cruelty. In every attack, the devil fails. In the end, he is defeated and condemned. God's grace is multiplied to Job. In Daniel 3, Satan is hiding behind the king. The king is represented by the image, royal orchestra, army, and fiery furnace. The Lord is represented by the three faithful witnesses. Our Lord is victorious. His testimony prevails. Fire is harmful only to the king's soldiers. Finally, the king glorified our Almighty God. Satan is fallen and fallen and fallen again. His every attack ends in defeat. In this chapter we see him having the key of the bottomless pit. When and how he obtained the key is not specified here. When our Creator commanded Adam what to do and what not to do, the Lord gave Adam a key of life and death. Adam used the key of life all the time. He lived in fellowship with his Creator and in harmony with God's Word. The key of death Adam is able to use only once. At that moment he lost the key of life. He died. In Matthew 16, verse 19, our Savior gives the keys of the heavenly kingdom to Peter, not to make him sub-Christ, not to make him an arch-apostle. In Matthew 18:18, our Lord Jesus is giving the same power to all of his disciples. John 20, verses 22 and 23, reveals that the power is not in the man, but in Christ's Spirit. To our Lord we owe eager submission from the heart. The power is in his loving lordship over us, in our heart, in our life. Within the significance of the symbols of this book, we can see the key of the kingdom in trusting and obeying our Savior and Lord. The key of death is sin. Stubborn rebellion against God is a key of the bottomless pit. Satan is not given a special authority after his fall. Of his own will he chooses his peril. Removing the seals removes some veils from our eyes, and sound of angelic trumpets give us more of spiritual hearing. In the chapter 8, verse 10, as the third trumpet sounds, the falling star appears great, and the impact of its fall is awful. In the chapter 9, verse 1, the star is not as great, but its fall and the consequences of it are great and awful. They are great and terrible for Satan and for his slaves. In our Savior and Lord is our refuge and victory. Verse 2. The fallen one opens the bottomless pit. Smoke rises out like from a great furnace. Sun and air are darkened by the smoke from the pit. The fall of Lucifer was not some accidental negligence or mistake. It was a determination of opposing God and engaging as many angels as he was able to persuade to rebel. In the Garden of Eden, he is the accuser of God. In the book of Job, he is the accuser of the brethren. Satan attacks from every side he can. He is losing every battle against Christ, yet he will not repent. In Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, our Lord brought the plague of frogs against Pharaoh. Satan brought more frogs to compete with God. But the devil is not able to remove the plague, and Pharaoh asked Moses to entreat our Lord for the removal of the plague. Satan uses the key of the pit only to manifest his wicked heart, his wickedness. The devil has no will or power to do any good deed, anything pleasing God. In his restlessness, the devil seeks to forget his own wretchedness by causing as much misery for the Lord's people as he can. Our Lord allows us to suffer for a testimony of his Holy Spirit's power and loving lordship in our heart and in our life. In all our suffering, our Lord is suffering with us. We are members of his body. He works in and through us. For all we do in Christ's name, we are rewarded here and in eternity. For all the devil is doing, he is condemned forever, just as he deserves. God is glorified in Christ's salvation and in sin condemnation. Our God used Assyrians to judge sinful Israel, and he used Babylonians to judge rebellious Judah. Later, our Lord used other forces to judge Assyria and Babylon. In their suffering Babylonian captivity, Daniel and some other Jews were delivered from the sinful ways they lived in to become mighty witnesses of our God's glory. Our Lord did not use force to prevent Satan from opening the bottomless pit. When God's patience is ended and the devil's wickedness completed, there will be the final judgment. And all the evil spirits are trembling, knowing that it is more dreadful than any condemnation they have experienced previously. Satan's intention is to offend the authority of God. The smoke darkens the sun and the air. The enemy can only impact some parts of God's creation, and some of God's people will suffer along within the limits our Lord has determined. The real victims of the evildoer are all that believe satanic deception. The bottomless pit is like a great furnace. God's condemnation of evil is awful. All the heavenly angels know that God's justice is perfect, but the evil spirit blames God for cruelty. The smoke of satanic accusations obscures human vision of God's mercy and grace. The Son of Righteousness retains his brightness. As the hot smoke flies up, so the wickedness flies in the face of our Lord's justice and authority. All evil is for a time. Our God's final judgment is forever. Out of the devil's false accusations against God and his people come out locusts to afflict the life of the earthlings. Scorpions have their natural limits of living. Naturally, scorpions live in some regions and cannot survive in others. Their lifespan is very limited. But as long as they live and where they live, they are very harmful. The locusts of satanic treachery afflict slaves of sin and rebellion. All that are in Christ our Savior, from sprouts to the mature trees, all are safe. Here again we see that the sign of our Lord's protection against Satan's locusts is not on some devices or some weapons. The sign is on their forehead. When our Savior delivered us from the power of darkness, He gave us new mind and a new heart to discern between right and wrong, to love righteousness and hate evil. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 through 11, words of encouragement are addressed to all that received the precious faith in our Savior. Striving and laboring in the Spirit of our Master indicates His Spirit's lordship in our heart and in our life, and His seal in our foreheads. He leads us in the light of His Word and makes our life safe and fruitful. Verse 3. Out of the smoke come locusts upon the earth. To them was given power as the scorpions on earth have. Doubting God's word is first recorded in the Garden of Eden and is continuing still nowadays. It is followed by grave consequences on this earth and in eternity. Sinful life is characterized by falsehood and decay. Locusts and scorpions are very different creatures. Seeing them as a combination points to the fact that we are not looking at a natural biological being. The unusual blending of characters indicates to us so many unforeseeable consequences of sin. Scorpions live in their natural habitats. Death dwells in sin. Scorpions are shadowy creatures hiding from sunlight. Who loves sin hates the light of the truth. Scorpions have huge front clamps to hold their captured victim in order to strike it with the venomous sting in the tail end. Sin develops strong habits to hold sinner under the spell for the final sting, death. Verse 4. These scorpion-like locusts are commanded not to destroy grass and green trees. The plague is upon the minds and hearts under the yoke of sin. They suffer torment in their souls, but not always a sudden departure from this life on earth. The green grass and the green trees depict the saved ones from sin, living in Christ. Christians in their carnality would be the primary target of the enemy, but in their full fellowship in Christ's Spirit, they are preserved and secured. The sinner's boasting of sinful pleasure and pursuits cannot hide the fact of their inward and at times outward suffering, bitterness, anxieties, fear and envy. Locusts are creatures of massive numbers and selective destruction in the nature. These locusts are set for spiritual destruction. The first product of violating God's word is not immediately noticed in our physical environment, but the deadly sting is instantly experienced in the soul whose lifeline is severed. Verse 5. The invaders are prevented from destroying human physical life, causing death to their body. But the torment lasts 5 months. The anguish is similar to the pain caused by scorpion sting. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6, our Lord named rebellious nominal believers scorpions. James in the chapter 3 writes about evil talk. Uncircumcised tongue is inspired by the passions inflamed from this same bottomless pit in the verse 2. In the days of my imprisonment, I heard some other prisoners saying that the prisoners are the most difficult part of imprisonment. Rarely, yet at times, I did observe some believers entangled in their evil. I personally observed some men so filled with wickedness that they were displeased and disappointed with most of the events that did not promise some suffering inflicted to the other people around them. Influence of the devil's deception and wickedness comes in waves or spells to some people for a time. Then for some time they seem to be passive before another spell. When they feel that their life on earth is ending, they panic and try all in their power to live another day or two. If it seems to them that their health improved, they foolishly rush after sin again and again. They are infected by the scorpion venom. Verse 6. Men seek death but cannot find it. Desire to die, but death is evading them. I do not think they became indestructible physically. The humanity is investing so much effort in entertainment, amusements, dangerous adventures, and social activities, anything to make them happy for a moment, to forget death. While they live, they labor hard to erase from their mind any thought of their destiny. But their guilty conscience keeps reminding them that they are dead. They seek total death, complete oblivion about the fact that this is the time for repentance and deliverance for everyone calling on the name of Christ. They would prefer a life in total darkness, but the light of the gospel truth just won't quite miss them. This human dilemma with sin and the first and the second death is going on since Adam's fall. Sinners are just hiding from reality and truth, but they cannot eliminate their entire awareness about their misery. Verse 7. The shapes of the locusts look like horses ready for battle. On their heads are imitations of golden crowns, and their faces appear like human faces. Some leaders of religious or political groups desire to make strong impressions as powerful, irresistible, prevailing, invading force to encourage their group. At the same time, they labor hard to discourage and prevent any opposition. A locust pretending to be a war horse is revealing both sides. They are puffing up and they are not capable of doing any godly deed. They appear ready for a battle, but their time and perimeter are limited by our Lord against their will. Godless leaders of human societies wish to appear authoritative, but their crowns are very poor imitation of true power, and they are no match for our Lord of Lords. The arch-deceiver uses the worldly teaching and enforcement to persuade us of some high value and virtue in their humanitarian goals. In Isaiah 64:6 is our Lord's evaluation. Human righteousness is like filthy rags, perversion of truth. Plainly, human righteousness is not righteousness at all. Christ is the true righteousness. In Him we must grow. We may not allow the enemy to deceive us with decorated wrapping of anything lacking Christ's spirit. Verse 8. These locusts are puffing up with their armor and readiness for war and victory, but their master's craftiness is not complete without his attempt of displaying some charm and beauty to allure us. But let us not be fools. Read Proverbs chapter 7. under the false charm of deception hide beastly devouring teeth. The false beauty and vanity is attractive to sinners, and the devouring teeth are a threat to the souls of Satan's slaves. The enemy, seeing his failure and inability to deceive Christians, will threaten us, showing his teeth. We must keep our heart and mind focused on our victorious captain. He defeats the devil. To a sinner lusting after sinful enticements, the sharp teeth are hidden behind long, charming hair. All who walk toward deceitful, false beauty are coming closer and closer to the sharp, devouring teeth. Even the poorest Christian has more wealth and joy in our Redeemer than the devil's wealthiest victim in sin. Verse 9. Their breastplates appear like iron. Their wings sound like multitude of horse chariots running to battle. The enemy power pretends supremacy. The devil tries to impact human mind with fear and anxiety. Our Lord knows the truth, and he says, "Fear them not. Their power is limited." Luke 12:4-5. In Judges 7:20, Gideon's army shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." These locusts noise abroad their master. We need to remember that every enemy, sin and death, Satan and the world, all are defeated. We are here to voice the name of our master and king. Let us voice him by life and death. Let us be his witnesses in words and in deeds according to his word. Let us be his living testimony in our manners, intentions, endeavors, and accomplishments. He has the grace and power to use us for his will to please our Heavenly Father. Enemies appear mighty, massive, awful, but all are defeated by our Lord. Verse 10, these battle horse-like locusts have tails with stings resembling scorpions. They hurt men 5 months. Sin hurts more in the end than in its start. The second death is more horrible than the guilty conscience. The present suffering is for 5 months, limited, short time for both the delivered ones and the lost ones. For the redeemed, the torment of guilty conscience lasts until they experience salvation in Christ and his power to walk in the light of the gospel truth. God's mercy for the impenitent sinners by their guilty conscience invites them to our Savior until the death of their body. After that, they wait for his judgment. Verse 11, the locusts have a king over them. He is the angel of the abyss. His name is Destruction in Hebrew language and Destroyer in the Greek language. Isn't that quite appropriate? If a Hebrew disobeys the God of Israel, he is in destruction. If a Gentile follows the way of his gods, he suffers the power of the Destroyer. The treacherous influence of this enemy heralds the depth of everlasting doom. He is battling furiously to capture as many souls as are foolish enough to believe him. But he is not going to rule over them in the pit. He is going to suffer more than any victim of his crafty lie. All the condemned have hell in them. Verse 12, one woe is past, two woes follow. The mighty Lamb removes for us the seventh seal and reveals his seven trumpets. Our horizon in his revelation is enlarged. Our spiritual hearing is sharpened to hear his warning sounds. We are armed to resist the devil and faithfully follow our glorious Savior, King and Lord.